Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder filling in on this Friday. Happy Friday. Thank you for being here. As always, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Phone number 1-800-636-8686. Email Rome at haveatake.com. Jim, of course, on Twitter. Off today at Jim Rome. Website jimrome.com. I'm on there as well. Sports writer, sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Thrilling to be back. Great to be here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Four great guests today. Jerry Harrison Jr., the longtime major leaguer, Dodgers analyst, will be on the show about 35 minutes from now. We're gonna sneak in a little French Open talk with Andy Roddick, one of the great American tennis players of this century, won a U.S. Open. We'll give us some perspective on, full disclosure, I'm more of a Djokovic guy, but I was really rooting for Federer today on clay against Nadal, it's like rooting for a human being against a dolphin in a race in the water. Didn't happen, and we'll get Andy Roddick's perspective on how you gauge the greatness of Nadal versus Federer, given how dominant Nadal has been against Roger, and how many of his Grand Slams Nadal has won on clay. So that's coming up an hour from now, 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific time. We got some good guests today. Penny Hardaway on the program. You know, former NBA player, Memphis men's basketball coach, will be on the show that same second hour, 1:40 Eastern, 10:40 Pacific time. And for my money, one of the two or three best NBA writers in the country, Howard Beck from Bleacher Report, going to be on the show. And we'll start with a little NBA talk. We'll get into Carson Wentz's new deal later in the show and why it's both inevitable and necessary for the Eagles and not going to put them in a position to be as successful as Carson Wentz fans may think. We'll talk about, and I'm really interested in this, the idea, and we were just discussing this before the show, the hope for reality that the Warriors won't be as dominant in the years ahead, opening up the way for some parity in the NBA. If that's coming from age or Kevin Durant going elsewhere, which team or teams across sports, NFL, NBA, MLB, can be the dominant and eventually annoying dynasty of the next 5 or 10 years? I've got an answer for you, and it's probably not the team that you think it is. So we'll hit that at some point in the program. Game four tonight in this NBA Finals, and this is a Warriors team that remains exceedingly confident, which is usually a good thing, usually where you want to be. There's a calmness to the demeanor of Steph Curry and Draymond Green and the rest of these guys. You don't see some of that frustration and that angst, that anxiety we've seen from teams before when they've gotten to the top of the mountain and then whoever their opponent is seems to have the best of them. We've seen LeBron James get frustrated. We've seen that Rockets team get frustrated with each other. There's a calm, there's a coolness in a Warriors squad that's made four or five comebacks over the course of this five-year run, that's won, what, three NBA championships going for its fourth in 5 years, that has two guys that have won MVPs. Now, Kevin Durant, one of those guys, will not play in this game tonight. And I have no insight on this. I'm just going to say what I've said on the show that I host here on CBS Sports Radio at night. I do that usually from 6 to 10 Eastern time, 3 to 7 out here in Los Angeles in Southern California. I think something's wrong with Durant. I don't buy the notion that he's game to game, day to day. And again, that is speculative based on absolutely no reporting. But the fact that he hasn't practiced yet, that his workouts are private, that they seem to be hiding him from the media, my concern for KD and certainly for the Warriors is he's not going to be there at all. Not that they, I mean, to have him is to be a better team. I don't know that they need him in the sense that if they don't have him, they won't win the series. Hit this yesterday, exactly 24 hours ago, here on the Jim Rome Show, when I was filling in. It's about defense. Stephen Curry played great, great basketball in that Game 3 loss. You know the numbers. Scored 47, was basically offensively himself and Klay combined from Game 2. It's still about the D. Now, Klay Thompson, according to Steve Kerr, is going to play today, barring some kind of incredible setback in the lead-up to the game. We don't know how he's going to be physically. We don't know laterally how he's going to be able to play. Klay being able to hit some threes, even if he can't create his own space, just being a a weapon out there is going to help offensively. The big issue is, what can he be defensively? Klay Thompson is one of the under-heralded, under-regarded, underrated defensive players in the game, and that'll be a big part of it. Klay's ability to play the kind of defense he needs to play, and the calmness of this Warriors team not becoming arrogant. And Draymond Green, after that loss, in the day between games yesterday, talked about what having that other Splash Brother back is going to mean for the Warriors, just in terms of slowing down that Raptors offense.
When you talk about missing Klay, Kevin, and Kevon, obviously everything will point to the offensive end. But they're three of our top five or six defenders, you know, and I think that's equally or even more important than the offensive side of the ball. Like, you know, we still scored, 109 points last night? That's enough points to win. We won with 109. So, you know, we got to get stops. And I think, you know, adding Klay back to the fold, you know, is always going to make a difference. The way Klay pressures the ball, or the way he flies around on the defensive end, it'll, you know, that makes a big difference.
And they need him. This is a Toronto Raptors team that is playing with such an incredible level of certainty that they can win every game when they step on the floor. And that is the Kawhi Leonard effect in the extreme. Normally when teams get overconfident, normally when your certainty that even being down isn't a big deal, when it borders on that kind of arrogance, I'm usually, my spidey sense usually goes off. It makes me a little nervous. It feels like the mighty Casey about to strike out. And I don't think the Warriors are up against that, because we've seen this before. We've seen this Warrior team get down again and again and again and have no problems rattling off two or three wins in a row. They are the best basketball team, certainly, of this generation. And that was something that Draymond Green talked about, that he thinks they thrive. This Warriors team actually plays at their best when a little bit challenged.
When you're hit with a little adversity, you know, whether it's being down 2-1 or whether it's being down 17 or 12 or whatever it is, you know, your true colors show. And I think that's just kind of the makeup of us. That's our DNA. You know, our backs are against the wall. We continue to fight. Some teams, you know, they don't handle that situation well. You got to give them a lot of credit last night. You know, it kept feeling like that run was right there. Nick Nurse took some key timeouts, you know, and the guys answered every time we started to make a push. So you got to give them a lot of credit. But I just think, you know, our best basketball is usually played when our backs are against the wall, whether that's in a series, whether that's in one particular game.
These guys think they're winning the series. They think they know they're winning the series. And you would imagine that Klay Thompson, in talking to the media, would focus mostly on his health, which you'll hear a little bit at the end here, mostly on how he's doing. But he has the same vibe, that they're not sweating being down 2-1 in the NBA Finals.
Being down 2-1 is not the end of the world. It's been in this position before, so we can rely on our experience, and we're getting guys back, and it just sucks missing a Finals game. It's the NBA Finals, and this is what we work our whole lives for. But at the end of the day, I'd rather miss one game than an entire series.
If anybody, and I think the Warriors are going to win too, if anybody can make the Warriors' overconfidence into a liability, and you heard Klay Thompson actually laugh there. It's whatever, it's fine. We're going to be fine. It's so silly, the Raptors beating us. Can make radio hosts like me, as you know, it happens, look foolish. It might be this cyborg Kawhi Leonard, outside of his maniacal, bizarre press conference laugh, that is the things of nightmares. I said yesterday that I have nightmares about Kawhi standing over me. I think just the thought of it, I told the guys, full disclosure, old manned it last night. Got home from the Jim Rome show, did the CBS Sports HQ show that I host, got the kids from school, hung out with the kids, and then at 5:30 took one of those old man naps where I woke up 12 hours later. It was life-changing. But I'm pretty sure there were echoes of that Kawhi Leonard laugh somewhere deep in my dreams, like Inception. Kawhi just planting seeds of sorrow. He's a peculiar guy, and he's not a social guy. And all of that oddity, and for some people it's off-putting, He's almost, and I just mean on the court, he's a basketball sociopath. All he cares about, the only emotions he feels when he's on the floor is victory. And this, and I know they're on the road, and I know they stole home court advantage back in game three. This is there's no such thing as a must-win game unless you must win or the season's over. But this is a critically important game. I'll even say this. It's a huge opportunity for Toronto. It is the biggest opportunity for Toronto to not let the Warriors' carelessness and carefree nature be proven correct and let them come out and get a win. Doesn't matter who plays. If the Raptors are truly going to be NBA champions, if they are better relative to Golden State than most of us are giving them credit for, they go out tonight and they put a stake in the heart of this Warrior self-confidence. And even up 3-1, I don't know. I'm not counting out Golden State. And I personally, depending on the news on KD and how Klay looks and the line, would almost consider betting on the Warriors if they got down 3-1. But only one team in the history of the NBA Finals has ever come back from a 3-1 deficit in the Finals, and we know that was LeBron and the Cavs against the Warriors. In the history of the NBA, it's only happened 11 times throughout the playoffs. It is not a rare thing. It almost never happens. And the key there is for the Raptors to just understand and play with the urgency that they are not down. Oh, but they are down. They have to play like this game is a must-win game. And there's a lot of sound we could play. There's a lot of comments. It's the Finals. Everybody's talking. But I thought Fred VanVleet, who's played great defense on Steph, I thought his mindset and how it reflects how this Raptors team has actually gone about its business is an interesting warning to that Warrior self-confidence.
We haven't got ahead of ourselves the whole year. We haven't got ahead of ourselves in the playoffs, and it's not going to start now. So, you know, we're up 2-1, and we're on the road, and we just want to try to get another win. We're not thinking about, you know, the rest of the series. We're thinking about game four and trying to get a win against the defending champs.
And that's why that kind of urgency from Jump Street tonight is critical for Toronto. And I talked about this a lot yesterday, and Steve Kerr and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, that entire Warriors team talked about it nonstop the last 36 hours. It's bad defensive efforts by Golden State that has cost Golden State games. Every game that the Warriors have lost in this postseason, they've allowed at least 112 points to be scored by their opponents. If Toronto can come out immediately and set that tone, Gasol's hitting shots, maybe what you start to do is tap into the self-confidence of some of those younger guys and some of those non-superstars in the Warriors who aren't accustomed to these kind of minutes because of the injuries. No Kevon Looney, not a star, but a great defensive player. No KD. We'll see how many minutes Klay can play. And you start to break down their ability to stay focused defensively. Have a really, really good start. Maybe Toronto shocks everybody. They're huge underdogs. I don't think they're going to win. But we've been proven wrong before. And if anybody's going to make the Warriors look a lot more human than they have appeared the last few years, outside of LeBron, it's Kawhi Leonard. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. 1-800-636-8686. Give us a call. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome here on the Jim Rome Show. We'll keep it rolling. I want to get into Mark Stevens. What are you doing pushing Kyle Lowry? Got banned. Adam Silver doesn't mess around. And we'll get into why, even if you are a very wealthy person, even if you're accustomed to the sycophants in your boardroom or your home telling you can do whatever you want, it actually, shocking news, breaking news, Mr. Stevens, or anyone else this applies to, doesn't work that way in the real world. We'll get into that here on the Jim Rome Show next on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Now, Eric, appreciate you, brother. You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Oh, thanks ever so much for taking my call.
You got it, dude.
It is a beautiful day up here in Maine, too. However, I am utterly embarrassed to be a sports fan living up here in New England today. After hearing the Boston Bruins fans up in arms today about the, you know, the injustice that occurred to them last night. First and foremost, it's a ticky-tack game. You know, the ref missed a call. It didn't cost them the game. This is the same refereeing crew that has propelled them to within two games of a title, because you can Google this. They have more power plays than any team in the history of the NHL playoffs to this point. So they've gotten a lot of help, much like they usually do here in New England. I guess the fans are just used to having titles handed to them, like the Patriots do up the road. I don't know what they're crying about today. Get over it. The Bruins are a bunch of floppers anyway. It's disgraceful. It's disgraceful the way they're acting today. Do you agree or disagree with me?
Eric in Maine, I absolutely agree with you. Look, I've got my brother married into a Bostonian family. That's new for me, having people kind of in the family who root for the Red Sox, who are true Patriots fans. And God bless them. They get championships like I go out and order beer after work. It's a pretty common occurrence. But they certainly, I mean, you can ask some Chiefs fans who are still pretending they're Super Bowl champions because of what they saw as the inappropriate and unfair calls in that AFC Championship game, resulting in that overtime loss where Brady got the ball on the coin flip. The Chiefs didn't. It was all said and done. It is, at the end of the day, Bill Parcells is right. You are what your record says you are. And Boston sports fans, their record says they are the luckiest fan base on the face of the earth. Can you imagine being born in, let's say, 1995 to 2000, growing up in Boston, and that being your experience of sports fandom? Pretty nice thing to do. Or you can do what Stuart Kovacs, who's helping on the show today, my producer at night, does, which is just pick 15 random teams around the country to be your favorite teams. But if you're born into Boston sports, things have gone pretty good. You probably don't have a, oh, there he is. There's Stu. A little. Probably don't have a lot of a room to complain. A place that there is room to complain. And I just want to hit this fairly quickly, but I think it's worth mentioning. I don't know Mark Stevens at all. I don't know Mark Stevens, the billionaire and partial owner of the Golden State Warriors, one bit. And Adam Hawk said it perfectly earlier. If you have to choose between being rich and being famous, choose being rich every single time. I have no concept of what it would be like to be famous, but I've been out with people who are famous. In fact, Andy Roddick's going to be on the show in about 35 minutes to talk some tennis. And just randomly, Andy's a good dude. We used to do a podcast together. He's a really good guy. The first Dodgers game I ever went to in my entire life happened to be with Roddick. And it was not as enjoyable an experience as it normally is going to a Dodgers game. It's just weird from the moment you get out of the car to have all eyes on you. After the first 10 seconds, we're like, man, I look good today. Like, oh, no, wait, no, that's right. Roddick's standing next to me. I'd hate it. And Mark Stevens, as Hawk pointed out, had the perfect situation. Billionaire. Access to the most dominant team, certainly in the NBA, maybe in sports as a partial owner, chilling up in those courtside seats. I sat courtside one time in my life in an NBA game. I was writing a story back in the day for FoxSports.com on the Maloofs when they owned the Kings. That is the life. They bring you beer. They bring you food. You're up there. I mean, LeBron James, I was covering LeBron at the time. We were not copacetic, kind of turned and looked at me and just did a what are you doing there kind of moment. Actually said, I think it's the only time LeBron's ever spoken to me, just like, or he started the conversation, like, what are you doing here? And Mark Stevens, in that game three, what an idiot, pushed Kyle Lowry, put his hands on an opposing player. And this is where Adam Silver's continued decisiveness elevates him head and shoulders, not just above the commissioners of the day right now, but the commissioners who have preceded those folks. 1-year ban, $500,000 fine out of that very rich gentleman's pocketbook. And a similar thing's going on, different, right? Not a level of guilt per se, but Mrs. Lacob, the owner of the Warriors, the majority owner's wife, was, maybe inadvertently crowding Beyonce's space. And let me preface this with, I'm not a believer that it's okay to send death threats over stupid things. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I've gotten death threats over radio shows, right? You mute it and you wonder what's wrong with people. However, for Mrs. Lacob and for Mark Stevens, for different reasons. Mrs. Lacob, because that's the deal with fame and access to fame. And for Mark Stevens, because of his own absolutely unacceptable decision-making, in which he deserves whatever punishment Adam Silver handed down. Here's the fact. Just because you are wealthy, just because you are powerful, just because you think you have some form of anonymity, does not mean you are immune from the ugliness that surrounds people in your world. Think about how many death threats Kevin Durant got when he decided to go to the Warriors. Where was Mrs. Lacob tweeting about those complaints? Think about how many death threats a Draymond Green gets when he kicks a fellow superstar in the private parts in an NBA Finals game. And maybe I missed it. Maybe Mrs. Lacob led a please don't send death threats to the players Twitter movement that just kind of got past my radar. I am in no way saying that the death threats are acceptable. What I am saying is, you sat next to Beyonce. She got a little attitude on it. That's what's going to happen. People are stupid sometimes. People on Twitter are often their worst selves. And this is the deal. Doesn't make it okay, but to act like you're in some kind of a horror show and the world is aligned against you, to me, you've got a lot of these Warriors ownership group folks in the last 48 hours reminding us that sometimes the rich and the powerful do not realize the rules apply to them the same way. I am going to be, and I have been, here on Jim's show when I'm able to fill in, when I'm allowed to do that, and certainly on my own show at night on Rider Than You on CBS Sports Radio and the TV show that I host on CBS Sports HQ, nothing gets me more frustrated than people in power, positions of influence, who think the rules don't apply to them, who think that any kind of criticism is a sacrilege by the gods against one of their angels. That's why I'm hard on Kevin Durant. That's why I'm hard on Chris Paul. That's why Jay Cutler, for me, subtracts from the sum of all human joy. But that applies to everybody. That applies to Mark Stevens. Absolutely. You're going to put your hands on somebody? Are you kidding me? Get the hell out of here. I love the poor usher, the poor guy who had to go and tell him it was time to leave. Didn't he look? Somebody needed to buy that guy a stiff drink. I did stand-up comedy once, and it was really bad. And after, really terrible. I bombed. It was. And then the Missouri, different story, different day, but the Missouri football team I made fun of tried to follow me to a hallway. I'm not a big guy, so that would not have gone my way. And a huge bouncer just brought me a shot. Goes, "You're not funny, but you got stones of steel, my friend." Not sure about that, but I took that shot. Somebody get that poor usher a shot, because he had stones of steel to go remove one of his bosses. Mark Stevens, here's the deal, man. Here's the reality. The rules apply to you. The fair ones. Mrs. Lakem, here's the deal. The rules apply to you too, even if those rules are crummy, even if it's unfair. I do not need to hear superstar athletes or the owners of teams or the wives of owners act like because they have fame or wealth or money that the realities, the physics of being a part of 2019 shouldn't apply to them. Get the hell out of here. Get out of here. There are stupid people sending death threats to the players who play for your owner's team on a regular basis. Bring your moral outrage to that, because those complaints don't go away in the same amount of time that a TMZ news cycle happens, which is what's going to happen for you. I don't need the rich person self-righteousness. And trust me, I want to be rich. I'm never going to be. It'd be great. And I'm all about self-righteousness, but not a combination. Get out of here. Have some perspective. Wanua did not talk baseball yesterday, and I love the sport. Want to hit it. Jerry Harrison Jr., longtime Major League Baseball player, won a World Series with the Yankees, Dodgers analyst here in Los Angeles. So we're going to visit with Jerry, talk about this Cubs team and the addition of Craig Kimbrell. We'll talk about the Dodgers. We'll hit the Yankees.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you here on the program on this Friday, filling in for Jim. Thanks for being here. Love that we're having on one of my favorite people in the business, longtime major leaguer, World Series champion, Dodgers analyst, on Twitter at The Real J Hare, just crushing a cheeseburger at Dodger Stadium, Jerry Harrison Jr. Jerry, what's up, buddy?
Bill, what's going on? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. So this isn't a baseball topic per se, but I want to ask you about this this owner of the Warriors pushing Kyle Lowry. I know that in baseball, like in the NFL, you don't have fans on top of the players, that kind of access. But as a guy that played for a long time, you played a lot of class, what would your reaction have been if some partial owner of a team you played for or against was putting hands on players?
Well, that I was stunned to hear that it was an owner or a minority owner of the Warriors. I know Peter Gruber, he's the majority owner of the Warriors. He's also a minority owner of the Dodgers. And obviously I know they're probably up in arms to see one of their guys put hands on the players. That can't happen in any sport, but you're right. Basketball is different. The fans are literally on the court. And for him to put his hands and shove Kyle Lowry the way he did and verbally attack him, what I heard, you know, he was kind of saying some things that you can't repeat on air, you know, that can't happen in any sport. And for him to do that, you know, if you're an owner, part owner, whatever, you have to be above reproach. You know better than that. And I, since I heard he's apologized, but still, you know, I know he's got that year ban and he $500,000 fine. But that can happen in any sport.
Because, Jerry, you know how it is. It doesn't matter how big you are, how tough you are, how tough you're not. The situation, when another man puts hands on you, there's just there's a physical reaction. There's a chemical reaction.
Absolutely. I give full credit to Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry's from Philly. You know, and you know, this guy's a tough kid, and he's a guy that if I'm him, I'm always looking to defend myself, you know, if somebody's pushing me or hitting me. And he would have been in his right to defend himself, but I think he handled it extremely well. He was poised, especially considering the situation. It's the finals, and I think that's the last thing you think about as a player. You know, if you're Kyle Lowry, you're trying to save a loose ball. You dive in the fans. Your first reaction is after you try to save the ball is, "Are you okay?" I think that's what he said. You know, to the fan he landed on, and then the guy two seats over pushes him and starts verbally attacking him. You know, I think that's why he was stunned. And usually men might react, you know, a certain way. Like you mentioned, somebody puts your hands on you, you may react to protect yourself. I think Kyle Lowry handled it outstanding.
Jerry Harrison Jr. here on the show. Jerry, you and I are both from Naperville, Illinois. You're from there. I spent some time there in middle school and high school. And I'm a Cubs fan. As a result, you played for the Cubs for a time. They just added at a pretty, you know, at a deal that's going to make Craig Kimbrel some money, hopefully some bullpen help. What do you make of that signing by Theo and the Cubs?
Well, I think that's an incredible signing. If you, as you mentioned, you're a Cubs fan, so you know they've blown, what, is it 8 saves so far this season?
I think that's right.
Something in that ballpark. And, you know, they're a team looking for that ninth inning guy, that closer, and they found one of the best ones in the business. And I think the biggest key for them is, Craig Kimbrel is going to be fresh. You know, he hasn't pitched in April or May, and he might, you know, probably be activated in a couple of weeks. So he'll have April, May, and June, whereas he hadn't thrown in a big league game. So I think he's going to be extremely fresh come postseason. And their team, the Cubs, that understands how to win in the postseason. There's still guys there led by Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, that know what it's like to win in the postseason. And I think that was their missing piece is that closer, that ninth inning guy that understands how to get those three outs in big games. I thought it was a huge acquisition for them.
And Jerry Harrison Jr., with that Monday deadline having come and gone, where now guys like Kimbrel and Dallas Keuchel can sign without it costing teams draft picks, it's just a straight-up open free agency situation. Dallas Keuchel is going to be an Atlanta Brave. What do you make of that deal, and just how ready or how long you think it'll take him to get to a place where he's able to go out there and pitch 5 or 6 or 7 innings a day?
Well, I think it's not going to take him long, because you got to remember, even if you haven't signed, guys are professionals. They understand what they need to do to stay ready. And Craig Kimbrel and Keuchel, the last couple months, have been throwing off a mound. They've been staying in shape. And they're veteran guys. They know exactly what they need. So a guy like Keuchel, he may need a couple starts in the minor leagues to build his innings up a little bit. Maybe a 5-inning stint in A-ball, and then maybe go to Double-A and pitch another 6 or 7, and he might be ready to go. And he's another guy that knows how to pitch in the postseason. He's going to be fresh, and will give the Atlanta Braves starting rotation a shot in the arm.
So for all these teams in the National League, it certainly feels, Jerry, like they're chasing a Dodgers team. We know what Cody Bellinger's doing. The dude looks like Ted Williams so far. Offensively, the Dodgers are in the top 5 in a lot of statistical categories in the majors this year, not just in the NL. And their starting pitching isn't just out of this world. They've got two guys who are starting pitchers by trade in their bullpen in Julio Urias and Ross Stripling, who could start for other teams. We've seen this story before. We've seen the Dodgers win the National League many, many years in a row, the NL West, I should say. They've made the World Series the last 2 years. You're a Dodgers analyst. You're around the team all the time. It's only June. But does anything feel different about this team than the team the last few years?
Absolutely. You know, the last couple of years, if you look at their offense, they're among the league leaders, if not the league leader, in strikeouts as an offense. And I got to credit guys like Jock Peterson, Cody Bellinger, Kike Hernandez has tried to make improvements in this area. Chris Taylor has tried to. But the entire lineup has made it their mission to strike out less and put the ball in play. Now, they're still driving the ball out of the ballpark. They're hitting home runs at a high percentage, high rate. But when it gets to two strikes, they want to be that anti-launch angle team. And that's why they've been so effective scoring runs in many different ways. And this team has really grown up before our eyes. You got to remember, Cody Bellinger, when he broke in the big leagues, he's only 22 years old. So now he's only 24 years old. And guys don't hit their primes in the big leagues until about 26, 27, 28 years of age. So you have their young core starting to really kind of come into their own. On top of that, they already have World Series experience. The one thing I could really admire about this team, you know, kind of like, you know, the Super Bowl hangover, well, there's also a World Series hangover. And the Boston Red Sox are going through that right now a little bit. At least they did in the beginning. The Dodgers have not allowed their failures in the World Series the last couple of years to kind of linger over to this season. And David Freese was a big part of that. He's a World Series champion with the Cardinals. He made it a point in spring training to have a meeting and said, listen, whatever happened last year, it's over. This is a new season, and we're going to attack it as such. I don't want to hear anything about our past. It's all about 2019, and that's why they've been so focused from day one. And that's why it's so important to have veteran guys on teams to say certain things. A manager can say it. A coach can say it. But when it comes from a veteran player who has won a championship, that really, really speaks volumes, and players listen. And they've been on a mission since day one.
Former Major Leaguer Dodgers analyst Jerry Harrison Jr. here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in. I'm looking at Bellinger's stats, Jerry. I look at him every day because I traded my fantasy baseball league. We don't need to talk about that. And I just marvel. Such an idiot. 370.
You traded Cody Bellinger? What's wrong with you?
My co-owner, Reed Forgrave, talked me into it. That's my story.
Oh, my God.
I know. I should have called you, Jerry. I don't know why I was asking Reed. I should have called you.
You got my number, brother. You should have called me.
No, that's my fault. I'm an idiot. Bellinger, 370. His on-base percentage is .456. His slugging is .721. He's got 20 homers. I mean, I can go on and on and on. The guy's also a gold glove. He's going to win a gold glove this year. I mean, he's a human highlight reel in the outfield. He's stolen seven bases without giving into too much hyperbole. And I know Mike Trout's out there. Can you make the case? Is it legitimate to start talking about Cody Bellinger as the best player in baseball?
Well, I think you can make that case. Now, as you know, Bill, I'm a huge Mike Trout fan. And what Mike Trout has done the last 6 years has been historic, literally historic. And he's been the best baseball player in our game for quite some time. I still think he holds that title, but Cody Bellinger has definitely closed the gap. Now, he has to do this for another 3, 4, 5 years. But the way he's played the game this year, you know, he's like a hybrid when he's at the plate. When the count is in his favor, 2-1, 3-1, 1-0, he's looking to drive the ball like Ken Griffey Jr. When he's got two strikes, he becomes Ichiro. All he wants to do is put the ball in play, use his speed. He has, I think, top two or three in infield hits in all of baseball. Uses his speed to get on base, and that's why he has such a high average. He's cut down on his strikeouts, and he's really focused on that. You know, three years ago, everybody was striking out, and strikeouts are still up. But the championship teams strike out less, and the Dodgers have realized that, and they've made it their effort to strike out less, and Cody Bellinger is at the top of the list. He's done an outstanding job with two strikes, and he's become a complete hitter.
Yeah, he has changed his approach at the plate with two strikes. I interviewed Alex Verdugo a couple weeks ago. He just, on his own, talked about sort of emulating that and following that same philosophy. We live, Jerry, in a time where launch angle is a thing. We also live, it doesn't matter what professional sport we're talking about, these are all copycat leagues because people are looking for an edge. Based on what we're seeing from Bellinger and just how he has transformed him as a ball player as he's adjusted and stopped swinging for the fences with two strikes and the rest of this Dodgers team, do you think we're going to see more of this the next few years around the majors, or is this a Dodger-specific thing?
Well, as you know, I play for 9 different teams, and I have friends scattered throughout Major League Baseball. A couple are assistant GMs, scouting directors, you know, scouts. And the one thing they've been told by a lot of their GMs is, find me guys that can put the ball in play. I'm sick of this launch angle crap, okay? The high strikeout stuff is going to be dead. Unless you're a Giancarlo Stanton or Aaron Judge hit the ball 500 feet, you can live with guys like that. We want the complete hitter. We want the Altuves. We want the Mookie Betts. You know, we want the Mike Trouts, the low strikeout guys. And that's what has been the trend the last two drafts. If you notice, the first 6 picks of the draft were position players. You know what I'm saying? Guys that could put the ball in play. The Dodgers, their first 2 picks were position players that walk more than they strike out. Okay, so that is the growing trend. So if you're all about this launch angle stuff and you're not worried about the strikeout, that's going to be dying very, very soon. Teams want guys that put the ball in play and guys that will help them on the bases. And the Dodgers have really kind of changed their philosophy starting this year. You saw what the Red Sox did last year, their high contact rate, the Astros the year before. Guys that make contact and put the pressure on the defense. And we're going to start seeing guys, you're always going to have the long ball in the game, obviously. But you're going to start seeing more and more guys that put the ball in play.
All right, Jerry Harrison Jr., last one for you. Maybe two more. We'll see if we have time. Right now, the Minnesota Twins have the second best record in baseball. They have the best run differential in baseball. They hit a ton of home runs. Can this, given their division, do you buy this? Are the Twins legitimately one of the best teams in baseball?
Well, first of all, they're going to win that division. But if you look at that division, it's not one of the stronger divisions in baseball. When you get in the postseason, anything can happen. You know, it's kind of like the NCAA tournament in basketball. Once you're in the postseason, if you get hot, you can make a serious run. I think Rocco Baldelli and his staff have done an outstanding job. They got a really good group of guys, and they got a group of guys that really believe in themselves. So I never doubt teams that get out the gate. So you always respect those type of teams. But do they have enough pitching to maybe compete with the Yankees, with the Rays if they get in, if the Red Sox get in the playoffs? Do they have the pitching to beat those type of teams, the Astros? So that's yet to be seen, but they definitely slug, especially in that ballpark, which is not homer-friendly. They're really flexing their muscles, so they're a fun team to watch.
Jerry Harrison Jr., appreciate the time, man. Thanks for the insight.
Anytime, Bill.
All right, buddy. Be good. Jerry Harrison Jr., the real J-Hare on Twitter. I am not a launch angle guy. I'm glad it's changing. By the way, it's time to ask the pros, where you, the clones, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and submit your question. Be listening later in the show when I might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Yeah, that Dodgers team, I'm going to try to find some time to hit on them later. It is amazing that what they have done in terms of not just changing their approach at the plate, but as a result, all the stats that kind of matter for the postseason, getting runners in when they're in scoring position, getting runners in with two outs, getting runners in scoring position with two strikes, they've gone from the worst or among the worst teams in baseball to among the best. We've got several other great guests for you. Love having Jerry on the show. Penny Hardaway an hour from now. Howard Beck from Bleacher Report, NBA insider there, does a great job. Hour and a half. And Andy Roddick, the last American. Think about that. The last American to win a Grand Slam event in tennis. Not great for American tennis. Andy Roddick going to be on the show. He's played against Federer. He's played against Nadal. We'll get his perspective on Nadal just dominating Roger Federer on clay today in the French semifinals. And we'll hit some other topics with Andy Roddick, one of my favorite guys. Had the pleasure to work with him for a while. So Andy Roddick coming up on the Jim Rome Show with me, Bill Ryder, filling in. We'll do that in just a moment here when we come back on CBS Sports Radio.